Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have a very special guest coming back to the show. Welcome back, Emily Ganico. Welcome back, Emily.
Good morning, guys.
Woohoo! It was pretty cool. We actually weren't planning on having any guests today, but Emily was coming in to do a little bit of repair work on the Freedom Center, and we just kind of grabbed her and asked her to come on, and she graciously said she'd come on, so we're excited to have you back. And yeah, last time you had so many good stories. We're excited to hear what you have in store for us today too.
But Rob didn't come on today. Rob, he's in the other room. I don't know if you can hear me talking.
He said he had the kids.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, all right. So he'll have to come on in a future one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, one of these future ones, we'll have to have both of you guys on at the same time.
I know. That's what I thought was going to happen today.
So this week, or actually this past Sunday, we had Pastor Ed come back and give the sermon. It's been a while since he's been preaching at our church, but it was awesome to have him back. And the verse that he focused on was Romans 1, right? No, 12.
Well, Romans 12 is
Romans
in there.
Romans 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was the that was the title of his sermon, was actually Romans 12.
Okay. I listened to it, so.
And so that's been actually a verse on our podcast that we've talked about quite a bit. And it was cool just to see how he fleshed it out a little bit in talking about it. And so we asked Emily to come on and share a little bit of some of the things that she got from the message. So it was cool. She had some stuff prepared. So Emily, would you like to start us off with some of the stuff that you had prepared for the episode?
Yeah. Just listening to Pastor Ed's sermon, you know, one of the things that he mentioned was being a living sacrifice. Mm. And the first thing that always pops up in my mind is, 11 years ago when Rob proposed to me, almost 12 actually, he asked if I was willing to go on a mission trip with him. Mm. And that was kind of like the beginning of my like journey of sacrificing to quit my dream job and give him my 2 weeks notice. Mm-hmm. And we got married and then went 3 months later to do this mission trip together for a whole year. Mm. And it just didn't make sense. Like I was going kind of like backwards on cultural norm, right? And mm-hmm. everyone, a lot of people were like, what are you doing? That doesn't make sense. Even my parents, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a good idea. So it just didn't make sense in so many different ways financially. You know, this was my dream job. Why would you give up your dream job that you worked so hard and God provided for you? And, you know, there's just a lot of questions. Like, it doesn't make sense to do that. But in our hearts, it really was something that we knew we had to be obedient and faithful in. And that was, like, that sacrifice, like, looked like it was hard, you know, that whole mm-hmm. year. Everyone would say, oh, wow, you're going to New Zealand and Vanuatu and Hawaii, all these beautiful islands. It's like a one-year honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my mind, I laugh because during that 1 year, we were literally living in the poorest villages on floors, on the floor with like rodents crawling all over us. There's mosquitoes eating us up alive. All the things that I don't like, right? Like there's only one outhouse bathroom in the village and it's like a hole with a tarantula that lived there. And oh my gosh. And it was just
that sounds like a dream honeymoon right there for sure.
So, you know, there was a lot of challenges, you know, not just the environment, but like within our relationship, we had just gotten married. Mm. We had our biggest fight ever, you know, in a different country. And it was just, you know, learning how to grow together and work through things together and these challenges that came up. And it was the best way to start our marriage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it really solidified our foundation. And looking back, it was hard in so many ways, but it was the best thing we could have ever done to start our marriage.
What do you think is what's the main reason why that was the best foundation for the start of your marriage? Like, what do you think? Can you pinpoint to one or two things that?
So many amazing things happened, but like, I feel like one of the things was just together, right? We're being obedient and faithful that God is gonna provide, and teach us and grow us in, you know, different levels. And there's just so many points that we had to depend on God. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like in the village, you know, it's a very tropical place and it's known to rain a lot, but there was a whole week stretch of no rain. Mm-hmm. And even to the villagers, like, oh, this is rare. But we relied on that rainwater for drinking water.
Oh, wow.
And there was only one tank that fed the entire village of 50 people. Mm-hmm. And we were literally like down to the very like little sips of water. And, you know, there was a team of eight and we were getting kind of nervous. Like, oh, man, like if it doesn't rain tomorrow, I don't know if we're going to have any water. Mm-hmm. And our whole team was starting to get a little bit anxious. Yeah. And one of the local women's were like, well, why don't you pray about it? Isn't that what you guys are here for? We're like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, as soon as we started praying, it started pouring. Mm. And I remember we were just dancing and, like, you know, but, like, little things like that. Like, yeah, you just rely on God mm-hmm. for the most basic things, right? So, yeah, just, yeah, really depending on the Lord. And, yeah, I think it was just good in so many different ways. There's so many stories that happened, sure. But... I mean, just the simple thing of just giving up something that you were holding on to so tightly here at home in California, like just letting that go and trusting God that he has something better for you.
Yes, I mean, when you're describing it, just it sounds like, well, the word surrender comes up, surrender of a lot of different types of things and your will, your comfort, your all that kind of stuff. Wow. It's powerful.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too. You kind of led in with talking about being a living sacrifice, but really a lot of it too in your story is the rest of that verse, right? And talking about not conforming to the patterns of this world. Everybody is saying, don't do that. What are you thinking? What are you doing? But the way that your mind was working was in a different space, right? You're not thinking the way that the world is thinking. You're thinking of the way that the Lord wants you to move and what the Lord wants you to do. And so part of being that living sacrifice is having a transformed, renewed mind and not just thinking the way that the rest of the world does. And I think it's cool how your story illustrates both. It's like you're a living sacrifice, but at the same time, it's because you're able to live out of this renewed mind where you're seeking what the Lord wants and not just what the world says is the right thing to do or the right way to go.
And one of the cool things, too, is, like, not only did God work in both of our hearts, it was kind of like that butterfly effect. And even in my parents and Rob's parents' hearts, like, God was working to soften their hearts in a really cool way through our, you know, action of going to this mission trip. And even, like, us going to this, you know, remote island in Vanuatu, we didn't even know where this place was, but it was just filled with children that needed so much help. And we were just kind of like the pioneers to seek medical care for them. And a year after we you know, got to, you know, do ministry work with them and, you know, kind of help them in a very basic way, we were able to send a ship, a medical ship, loaded with volunteer physicians, nurses, dentists, evangelists. Everyone just came on board to this ship and shipped their entire vessel over to Vanuatu to give basic dental care, medical care, things that they never had before, you know? So we were kind of like the pioneers and like so many amazing things happened afterwards. So yeah, it was really neat to see like God working, not just in our lives, but around us too.
Oh, that's cool too, because it takes a step of faith when you don't even know what the outcome is going to be. So like, for a lot of different reasons, you know, newly married and giving up your dream job, all those types of things, they don't make sense. But then you're out there and you know you're there for the Lord's work and for a reason. But even for that year, you might not even see that much. I mean, there's benefits. I'm sure you see little things, but then you're laying the groundwork and the foundation for what's to come later. And then you get to hear, or did you guys get to see that ship actually arrive? And
we saw the ship when it was still in renovation. We were getting it ready and preparing it for all these volunteers to come on board. So, yeah, we weren't directly part of the ship that was sent out to give care. We were just, like, by foot, right?
Yeah,
like
doing
just
some
to
of the,
assess the needs.
Yeah, assess the needs, do some of the pre-work type of... Yeah, no, that's awesome.
So even before you guys went on the trip, was there something specific that you heard from the Lord to say, like, I want you to go? Or where was the prompting from for you personally to go on this trip to say, like, this is the right thing for us to do?
I always kind of questioned in the back of my mind, you know, especially when I got that dream job, because it was, there was only 2 spots out of 800 applicants. Mm-hmm. And when I got it, I'm like, God, there is no way I was the, you know, top 2 that were qualified. Like, this has to be you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew from before, like, this was something that God had given me. And, like, I was so excited, obviously. It was my dream job. It was really hard to get. And I loved it, right? Every time I was there at work, I just felt like the Lord's calling to me, for me to be in that place. And in the back of my mind, I would always question, like, how tightly am I holding on to my career? Mm-hmm. And how willing am I, you know, to, like, let it go if God calls me to something? And so when Rob had proposed to me on the beach of Kauai, that was the first thing that, like, came to mind when he asked, hey, you know, I was thinking of, we can, you know, together do a married couple's mission trip. Mm-hmm. And the first thought that came to mind was, are you willing to let it go now? Mm-hmm. And I just immediately, like, yes, absolutely. It was like the easiest yes. I thought really it would be really hard and a struggle and, like, kind of wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. It was actually easy for me to say yes. So, shortly after that, we applied and we left. Yeah.
Was it easy when other people were questioning your decision making?
No, especially, you know, my own parents, right? They were not against it, but they were, you know, not giving me that blessing to go. So that was hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, it's not easy when everyone else around you is trying to, you know, get their sense and trying to make you change your mind or, you know, suggest different things. And yeah, it does. It probably doesn't make sense in so many ways. But for us, we knew it was going to be amazing. So,
yeah, I really appreciate how, you know, your sensitivity to the Lord's leading, because I think sometimes we get to this point where as believers, it's like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be going. And so we do things because we should, or because we think it's the right thing to do, but not necessarily because we feel like the Lord wants us to do it. And so in your story where you're feeling like this sense of the Lord, you know, prompting you and asking you, are you holding on to this too tightly? Or, you know, are you willing to let this go for me? I really feel like that's kind of the next stage for us. Like at the beginning, it's like, yeah, these are the right things to do. But then it gets to the point where it's like, is this really what the Lord wants me to do? Because there's so many good things that we could be doing, but which one is the one that the Lord wants us to do? And sometimes that might be, you know, kind of like when we're watching The Chosen and you see Jesus, he's doing all these miracles and healings. And then all of a sudden he goes off to pray. It's like, well, shouldn't you be doing more and more and more? And he's like, no, I need to go do this, right? And so sometimes I feel like we get into either these rhythms or these routines where it's like, I'm doing these things that are good because I'm supposed to, or I should, or it's already been good. But then in those times, we stop listening to the Lord because it's like, this is good. I'm doing something good, and it's what I should be doing. But really, the Lord wants us to listen to him and hear his voice and go where he wants us to go. So I think it's really cool that in that setting, like originally you felt, the Lord had this plan for you to be in this dream job. He's providing this for me. But then when it was time, he said, no, I want something else for you. And you listened to that and you were able to shift to a different direction. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm going through Proverbs right now with Eli in our Bible reading plan. And it's bringing to mind the worldly wisdom and versus godly wisdom, or not verses, but you compare them. I think sometimes they align. So things that are wise from like a worldly standard, they match with what the godly wisdom is. But there's times where God's wisdom and his insight or even his calling don't make sense. And they're like the opposite. And then if you have that framework of more of from the world's point of view, it can be really conflicting and very like, wait, am I doing something dumb actually and stupid? Am I making like faulty decisions? But then like you had that conviction right away, like, and God asked you, are you willing to surrender this? And, oh, yeah, right away, you knew it. But then you needed that conviction for yourself because other people started questioning, and you had to have that like personal, that knowing that this is what God wants for me. This is the best.
Yeah, that's good. I think sometimes it's scary because you think you're doing the right things, all these things, you know, for God. And then, you know, that path eventually leads to nothing, right? And so, like, for that conviction, or, you know, the Holy Spirit to, like, really touch your heart in a certain way to, like, shift gears and, like, you know, realize, like, oh, no, this is not what God wants. I think he wants me to do this instead, you know. So I think that's super powerful. Because, yeah, sometimes we kind of go through the motions like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is all, you know, because of, you know, I'm doing a good thing. Yeah. But then it actually leads to, you know.
Or I think even those times where, like, okay, let's, your example, the Lord, it seemed like his hand was on you to get that job, right? So mm-hmm. he's leading you into that place. And if you then take away your discernment or checking in with, okay, God, what's next for me, or what do you want from me? And you're like, no, no, he has me here for a reason. I'm staying here. And mm-hmm. you kind of put your blinders or put your earmuffs on where you don't have to listen mm-hmm. instead of checking in, then you would miss that opportunity. But it seemed like, no, I'm following the Lord because he started this journey. But, oh, no, but he asked you to go at a certain point. He asked you to go a different direction. And then you got stuck on what he did initially. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool how your sensitivity allows you to be like, oh, no, this is a dramatic shift and it doesn't seem like it makes sense. But if the Lord's in it, then mm-hmm. I want to be with him.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it brings to mind those verses that we've been talking about a little bit from Matthew 7 about, you know, the when they came to him and said, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these great things in your name? And he turns and says, you know, get away from me. I didn't know you, right? Because they didn't listen to his voice when they said, he said, go a different way. And so it's really an awesome testimony that you're being able to share that, yeah, you were following the Lord. And then when he said to go a different way, you did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good example for a lot of us that don't just get into these habits of just doing it just because we think it's good, or the Lord might've had his hand in it originally, but when he says to shift, we need to be sensitive and aware of his voice so that we can turn when he says to turn.
Yeah, it's funny even hearing you say that. It's challenging because there's value in building up some of those good habits and doing mm-hmm. things, because those are actually wise, godly things. But when the thing becomes your guide instead of God, that's where it's like, okay, you have to remember to keep checking in to make sure, oh, am I still on the right path, or are you wanting me to do something different instead of just being like task focused, which I can fall into that. I'm analytical. I can, oh yeah, this makes sense. And so if I get stuck in that vein, I can do things that probably still for the most part align with a lot of like godly wisdom or biblical wisdom, but I might be missing the boat too. So it's convicting to think it that way.
Yeah. And then, you know, Pastor Ed was talking a little bit about like renewing your mind too. Mm-hmm. And that really, I feel like this short little season, I recently tore my ACL and meniscus, and I had surgery 5 weeks ago, right? So in this season of just laying low, God's been teaching me a lot about mm-hmm. renewing my mind and like kind of reprioritizing and like looking at certain parts of my heart that needed to be healed or transformed. Mm-hmm. And going through this Awe of God series lately has been incredibly helpful for me. And one of the things that was highlighted to me was like having such a casual attitude towards God mm-hmm. and not fearing the Lord. And that really like struck me like, oh, how many times have I come to church with my family just expecting a normal Sunday? Like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I'm going to do worship and then drop the kids off and then do, you know, this. And then, yeah, we have X, Y, and Z to do after church. And it's just such a casual attitude. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting anything or, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't walking in with like, you know, that expectancy. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that really, kind of pulled my heart. And so one of the things that our family started doing was every Sunday we would bless someone with a rose or a mm-hmm. flower and pray over that person. Mm-hmm. And so we would just kind of ask, and I would involve my two girls mm-hmm. and say, hey, you know, Jesus wants to highlight someone. Let's ask who we can bless today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would pray with them and like expect healing, mm-hmm. expect miracles, and, you know, just walk in with a different attitude than we had before. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that's been like renewing my mind, right? Like my attitude and how my posture towards coming to God. And another thing that was really highlighted was just this small habits that I formed throughout the years is so toxic. And yes, and just, you know, these little things that we do, it seems insignificant, right? Small. It doesn't matter. You make excuses. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's just nothing. But then eventually it leads to this huge fall. Mm. And yeah, and that really struck me. And, you know, just kind of reflecting back to my time of like unable to walk, and I'm really taking baby steps. Mm-hmm. And God's been teaching me to be faithful with the little, mm-hmm. the most insignificant, smallest things. And, you know, be truthful, be faithful, be, yeah, just have integrity with the small things so that I can trust you with the bigger things. And it's really like teaching me the baby step part. And I really couldn't walk. So it was every day I would like read, you know, the Fear of God book and just meditating on like what God had to show me. But yeah, just the renewing of the mind was, yeah, huge when Pastor Ed was talking about it.
So how have your girls responded to some of these shiftings, like, you know, doing the blessings each week and bringing the roses? How have they responded to you guys intentionally leading them in that way?
We've always kind of wanted our kids to be like just kind of like a normal thing for mm-hmm. the Spirit to lead you, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been, you know, here and there just like, oh, hey, like, did God speak to you in a cool way? Like, oh, like, I think God gave me a vision to share with so-and-so. Do you want to come with mommy to share it? Mm-hmm. So we've been more intentional about involving the kids. And, you know, a few years ago, Kyle invited our kids to be part of the prayer group in the front. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where my oldest one, Taya, she's never prayed over mm-hmm. anybody, but she had a word for this lady. And turns out it really blessed her. And she was crying mm-hmm. and just really touched by that. So, like, I feel like we underestimate our kids a lot of times mm-hmm. when the Spirit is talking to them all the time. And so, you know, when stuff like that happens, we as adults get excited or surprised, like, whoa, what, you know? But they're like, well, yeah, that's what God said. Like, of course he's going to.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, the girls were excited to give these flowers out. And sometimes a little hesitant, but just a little bit of nudging, like, hey, like, let's pray together. Or like, did you get a cool vision? No, okay, you just want to give the flower to so-and-so. It's okay, you know? So it's just been really cool to watch the girls hear from the Lord and, like, you know, step into action.
Damon just pointed at me, and I'm still reflecting on what you're saying. So, just trying to wrap my head around a little bit more of the renewing your mind, because we've talked about it a lot, and it to me it comes in different waves and different seasons. It means different things. For me right now, I think in some ways it's actually trying to create some of those positive mini habits, those positive things that. They can be either or, right? They can be good habits that are being established and bring more foundation, or they can be the ones that you described earlier that lead to toxic things, either behaviors or views or whatever, and lead you away from God. And it's interesting that I've had like a love-hate relationship with habits. At one point when I was younger growing up, I gravitated towards them because of just the way I'm wired, but then they became toxic because it was about the habit and about the duty, the obligation. And so then I got to a point where I'm like, I don't want that stuff anymore. I don't like the way that makes me feel and behave. But then it got unstructured enough where it's like, but now I'm kind of drifting and I'm kind of aimless. I need some of that. So it's been ever since then now, it's been like, how do I incorporate them and keep them pure, for lack of a better word, where they're what I'm supposed to be doing and supposed to be focusing on, versus they become kind of just back to that mindless thing where I'm just drifting, not drifting, but I'm actually doing it and it doesn't have the meaning that it's supposed to have. So that was good listening to you share that.
I mean, whenever I think of habits, Kyle, I actually think of an illustration that you gave a while ago.
Uh-oh, I don't remember it.
when I say it, you're going to remember. I know, but it's the 1%.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so a while ago, I remember it was either in a sermon or in a class that Kyle was teaching.
I think I did it in multiple areas.
Okay, well, he was talking about this idea of 1%, and it's like...
One degree, sorry. Come on,
right.
Get it right,
one degree. 1 degree. If you're 1 degree off center, right? And then, but if you extend that out for a long period of time, you end up being really far away from where you're supposed to be. Where at the beginning, it might just seem like, oh, I'm just off by a little bit. But then if you just extend that line out, you're really, really far away from the center where you were supposed to be in the first place. And so that can be either if you were supposed to be in the center and you're 1 degree off, but it could also be if you're off and you start moving in the other direction where you're supposed to go, you can slowly get back to being on track. Sure. So it's, are you 1 degree course correcting or are you 1 degree course altering, right? And so hopefully we're in a position where we're trying to course correct by that 1 degree so that, you know, over time we're actually where we need to be.
I think a big part of that is just the self-awareness and having other people around you that can kind of highlight and point you out like, hey, I think you're drifting a little bit before you get too far down that path where then it's not that long to be the course correction then doesn't take as long to get you back on track.
But I think it also highlights with what you're talking about, Emily, is, you know, train up a child in the way they should go, mm-hmm. right? And you guys are making some of these things normal for the kids, right? And so as they grow up, this is the normal. So for them to shift from to something different, it's changing their normal versus having to correct them to push them back to to renew their minds. They're already starting with a renewed mind. I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, keep going.
And
keep raising the level of how we see our kids. Because I think that's something that we're trying to do as a church. And if we talk to Steph about it, you know, really raising the level of how we see our kids and thinking about Holy Spirit as, you know, there is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is in us, is speaking to us, is the same Holy Spirit that's speaking to our kids, and recognizing that. And you guys are doing that in your family and you're seeing some of the results of that. And I think that's really cool. And, you know, I feel like what you're doing is really the first fruits of where we want all of our families to go so that all of our kids are experiencing the Holy Spirit from when they're young. And so that when they're adults, it's like, this is normal for me. This is not something new like it is for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about like, you know, being, you know, like training our kids, right? Like they're not gonna, it's not enough to just tell them, mm-hmm. right? We have to like really show it and mm-hmm. live by example. And one of the smallest things that we notice is me and Rob, my husband, we never really grew up loving to read. So we mm-hmm. would never read at home. Mm-hmm. And we wanted our kids to grow to love to read and enjoy reading mm-hmm. and learning and all that. And so we're like, well, we have to model it. Mm-hmm. And so we started doing this like small little 15-minute sessions to read our favorite book. And that eventually led them to like, I swear, every time we would come home from something, they would run straight to their book. Mm-hmm. And they're reading this graphic novel right now, but they loved it. They would always like dive into the book. And I never did that as a kid. So it was like really cool mm-hmm. to see them mm-hmm. really enjoying reading. And, you know, just that, you know, we had to set that example first, though, and like really lead them in that way. And one of the things that's been on my heart lately is like, it's been a while since I really dove into the Word. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done Bible studies like I used to in a couple years now. And I started like missing it. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had that feeling in a long time. Like before, I would dive into it every day and I couldn't, like, I was so excited to dive into the Word every single day, but I didn't have that feeling for a couple years now, and I started to miss it. And so I pulled out my little Bible study journal that I have, and I had kind of forgotten, but that first page when I opened it, I had wrote this poem that really touched me during my mission work time. And is it okay if I share it real quick?
Yes, we want. You're like building it up. I want to hear it.
So this is just on the cover, the inside cover, before I start my Bible study. So I would often read this before I dive in. But this is how it goes. I'm sorry, I don't know who the author is, but I just remember writing it down, and it always touches me. So here it goes. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we've dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas where storms show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. So that poem always like hits me in such a deep way, and it just reminded me like how much I need to just dive into the Word and be like in His Word every day. So I started kind of pulling it out and doing my Bible studies. But yeah, like when I've, you know, for 2 years I hadn't really touched it. Like it just became the norm, right? And it's just like, oh, just do my thing. But then, you know, you have that Holy Spirit triggering your heart, like, you know, pulling you. And it's like, oh, shoot. Yeah, like I need that in my life. I need to get back into the Word and, you know, just, you know, seeking wisdom. And they say it's, you know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And going through this All of God series, it's triggered my heart in so many ways. It's like led me back to like dive into the Word. So yeah, just kind of in a nutshell. But yeah, like my last 3 months have been kind of very, it's been powerful.
Yeah, I think as you're reading it, it just really highlighted to me how easy it is for us to get to these places where we can live our life on our own, right? And how we can get complacent, we can have small dreams, we can get to a place where it's everything feels okay, but we're okay because, and we don't need the Lord, right? And it's like, oh, is that okay? Am I okay with that? Am I okay with a life where I can just do things on my own? Or is it more important for me to live my life where the Lord wants me to be, where I have to rely on Him, where I have to be dependent on Him? Which life do I want to live? Do I want to live one where it's just me, or do I want to live a life clinging to the Lord, right? And that's what that poem really drew out of me. And so it's like, oh, that's a good reminder of where do I want to be? Do I want to be where He is, or do I want to just be where I'm comfortable?
Well, I'm going to give a plug for the Women's Summer Bible Study. My wife's leading it. Yeah. But it's going to be on studying the Bible. So it's just going to be a four-week one that's in June. Four topics about reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating on it, and memorizing. And I think it's going to be, it's good. It's going to be reminding us that, reminding the women especially, that it's not just a book of information. It's supposed to be something that's supposed to form us. So then how do we use it as a tool like that instead of just, oh, I read some passages today and, okay, I learned some good information or some stories, but really like wrestling and meditating on and chewing on it, like the awe of God part. Like we have to chew on some of those harder things. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been a chewing book.
Yeah,
it's there's a lot of deep questions in there, but yeah, same thing with the Bible studies. When you can do it with a group of friends or a community, it's even better because you really build each other up and keep each other accountable and encourage each other. So, yeah, that's cool.
That's good.
When you were describing the Bible study, Kyle, and you're talking about forming us, it really brought to mind kind of this concept of having a renewed mind. It's like what you're doing, Emily, with your kids is you're trying to form them with this paradigm and this perspective that's biblical, right? But for a lot of people, they grow up in a place where it's not biblical. Their paradigm is not biblical, right? So for your kids, it's going to be forming them. But for a lot of people, the Bible study is actually transforming because it has to transform from this old paradigm, this old way, to this new one that's in alignment with God's will, in alignment with God's design. And so the Bible can either be forming when it's like we're raising up our kids in this, or it could be transforming for us, those of us that's not how we were raised. That's not how we grew up. And it needs to be transformed so that we are in alignment with what the Lord wants.
Did we get to all of your topics that you brought in?
Or yeah, is there any I just other had ones? A little bit that I wanted to share, but yeah, I think that was it.
Those are good. Did you have something else that you wanted to?
No, I mean, when Damon was just talking, it just kind of reminded me of, you know, that scene in the Bible where, like, was it three or four faithful friends, like, you know, sending their paralyzed friend down the roof, you know? It just kind of reminded me of that, like, man, like, those friends that were so faithful lowered that friend down. And who knows where that friend was at spiritually. Mm. I don't know if he even believed, right? Like, I don't know, but the faith of the friends helped that paralyzed man walk again. Mm. And how beautiful is it when you walk with you know, just people who believe in the Lord and who love you the way that mm-hmm. they did. And yeah, and you know, just homeschooling the girls right now, it just makes me think like there, I think there are some, you know, Christian kids that are called to go into those public schools and mm-hmm. minister to those kids and live with them and, you know, love on them, and just beautiful things happen, you know, like even for non-believers, like having a Christian friend is transforming sometimes, and a lot of, you know, beauty comes out of it. So I don't know, it's just a quick thought and image that came to mind when Damon was talking.
Yeah, I think for me personally, that's where, you know, I have felt with my kids, we've always had them in public school, and I have always felt like for my family, that was the right place for them, was because I felt like the calling for my kids was to go out into the schools and to be a light to the people there. So it, and I think that's where, you know, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, is like we really need to discern the voice of the Lord, because some people, it might be right for them to do homeschooling. Some people, it might be right for them to do private schooling. Some people, it might be right for them to do public schooling. Mm-hmm. And but we need to be discerning and hearing from the Lord which one is the right one for our own family or for your own family, right? Because it's not just the same for everybody.
Exactly.
Right? Because if everybody was, you know, siloed into this small community, then there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't be reached, mm-hmm. right? And so just recognizing what is right for your own family and hearing from the Lord what is right for your own family. I think that's something that, you know, what you just shared highlights to me, because yeah, for my personal family, I've always felt like my kids are supposed to be in public school and, you know, being a light to that area. Mm-hmm. And it's been cool to, you know, hearing from their teachers or just hearing from different, people outside that they have been making an impact in those places. And so it's encouraging, and it's been, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you hear stuff from the teacher or from other people, it's like, that's not how they act at home, but I'm really glad that they're doing that at school. You know, I'm really glad that they're being a light to the school. It's like, oh, I hope they'll be like that at home too.
Bring that light home.
But yeah, just being able to see the ways that they've been able to kind of be a light in their schools. Like, okay, this is not that I ever doubted the decision, but just, it's like, okay, this is kind of affirmation that this is where they're supposed to be.
That's good.
All right, so
good.
Before we wrap up this episode, Emily, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we close off?
I mean, no, not really. Just, yeah, I'm just thankful that, you know, we have such an amazing community here at church, and, you know, even within our family and groups of friends that really... yeah, just walk with you through your ups and downs in life and just help you, like, get back on track, right? So, yeah, I'm just thankful that this season with my injured knee and not being able to walk, it's teaching me a lot. Mm. And it's kind of, like, reshifting and reprioritizing and, like, renewing my mind. Mm. So, yeah, just thankful for the times that the Holy Spirit has disturbed my heart and brought to light a lot of the things that needed to come to light, so...
I know we can be thankful for those times of disruption. I don't think any of us want those. And we like, oh yeah, I'm ready for my disruption. But like, especially God and his timing, sometimes it's like, okay, I needed this. I needed a course correction, or I needed a renewing of my mind. So I've had several or numerous of those in my life. And it's like, as much as I think I fought them when I was younger, now I'm like, okay, no, these things are good, and look for the good that can come out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you were sharing about that, Emily, it really brought to mind something that Steph highlighted before. I don't know if she talked about it on the podcast, but something that she brought to mind was, you know, the verses that talk about, you know, we know that the Lord works all things for the good of those that love him, right? And in your situation, it's like getting hurt, right? And it's like, well, how's this good? But then when Steph talked to me about it, she said, you know, after the verse that comes after it talks about being conformed to the likeness of Christ, right? And so in this season, the Lord is actually working on you, working on your heart, conforming you more into the image of Jesus. And so that's the good that's coming out of it, even though it's like a difficult season. But, you know, a lot of times I think we try to look for like external good out of it. It's like, how is this going to turn out good for me? But really, when we understand what the good is, and it's conforming to the image of Jesus, like, oh, okay, that's different. That's a different type of good than I think a lot of us look for. When we read those verses, right, about God working all things for the good, it's like, really the good is becoming in the likeness of Christ. So it's really cool to see how you're using this time and how the Lord is using this time to, you know, renew your mind and conform you into the image of Christ. And yeah, it's just really an encouragement to see how the Lord is actually working those verses out in your life.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Emily, for coming on. We appreciate you jumping on last minute and saying yes when we asked you to come on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I get bubbles.
It's a bubble day because that was such a good episode and hearing all of what God's doing. So I just had to blow some bubbles.
That's awesome. No, I had fun with you guys. Thank you for inviting me on.
And thanks to everyone else that's listening out there. We appreciate all of our listeners and we're excited for all that the Lord has in store for our church and for you. And we get to celebrate Mother's Day coming up. So happy early Mother's Day to you, Emily.
Thank you.
We just really are excited to hear the stories of you and how you're raising your kids and raising your family to experience the Lord and bless other people too. So just thank you for the inspiration and for the modeling that you're doing.
Thank you, guys.
So for all you out there, until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.